Shalom, this is Billy Brim. Glad to be back home. Got home Monday night at 9:30, and my family's already started coming in for this wonderful Thanksgiving season. It's so great to hear all of you, and across the country, we're going to give thanks together. We're all the way, and we have Alaska and Hawaii. And then I want to say that it particularly blesses me when you call in from our 13 original colonies, our 13 original states. And I'm going to be reading right now from Brother Hagin's Faith Food. He talks about Thanksgiving, and he said, the forefathers of the United States set aside a day each year to offer thanks to God for his blessings on them in this new world. He had blessed them both spiritually and materially. How thankful we are for them. And then he said, let's look into God's Word to see what God's Word has to say about giving of thanks. And the first thing we're going to do this morning is giving of thanks. And the first scripture that Brother Hagin taught on this was, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. We use this so much. You on this line are those who know to pray first of all for those in authority. But along with the supplications, along with the prayers, and along with the intercessions, God has in this scripture, this instructional scripture about what we should pray about, that we should be giving thanks for those who are in authority. So right now, I want all of you, and we have our Canadian brothers and sisters on here, and right now, to be biblical about it, let's all give thanks for our leaders right now. You, in your own way, I'm going to lead right here. Heavenly Father, in the name above all names, as I come home and I put my feet down on this ground that we call home, that is the United States of America, how thankful I am. How thankful, Father, that you have moved through our forefathers and that you have given them governmental guidance. A people who had never lived under anything but kings and authority such as that. Father, you gave them this way of governing that we have. You showed them in the Word of God how to set up our Declaration of Independence and how to set up our Constitution. Oh, Father, how thankful we are for those leaders who have gone on but who left us this path to follow. And now, Father, we live in this day. We live in the end of this year we call 2018, going into the year we call 2019. Holy Father, you have even recently, Father, there have been elected new senators. There have been elected new representatives. And Father, in the name above all names, we thank you for the administrative office that you showed them how to set up. And now, Father, I truly believe with all my heart that you have given us a precedent to do your will, to bless America through, to bless Israel through, to bless Jerusalem through. Father, when I look at the challenges that face the leaders of each country in this world, having just come from Israel, and we'll talk about and pray about that later, but right now I want to lift up our own leaders. Dear Father, I do pray that you'll give them a consciousness of your presence in this Thanksgiving season, that you will rise up within them and come down upon them in the Spirit of God, and you will, Father, cause them to be thankful. Show them to be thankful. We thank you for direction. We thank you for protection. We thank you, dear Father, for our President of the United States, Donald John Trump, and his family. We ask you particularly to protect their lives and to protect their ilibrosanda, mahashanda, their habitations. And Father, in the name above all names, ilibrosanto makalatito, to make very plain to them what it means to be thankful for this country. Holy Father, we thank you for all the administration offices. too numerous to name right now, but, oh God, just lifting them up to you, our Vice President and his family. Oh, how thankful we are for the Ishtaramorati. We thank you for the senators. We thank you for the Ilibrasonto, the representatives. We ask you to help them. And, oh, God, it does say in Job that you make men know about you, even in the nighttime, in visions. Father, please call those. And even if some need to change and change around, we pray for their changing. Oh, Father, we lift up the judicial. We lift it up from our towns and city halls and right on up through the counties and the states and right up to the Supreme Court. Father, give us judges, and we thank you for the judges that you have given us. And we ask you, dear Father, we thank you for them, and we thank you, dear Father, that you visit them. We praise you and give you glory in the name above every name. And then Brother Hagin goes on. You remember now what we're talking about is he said we should give thanks for what the Bible says we should give thanks for. And of course we give thanks for our material blessings and our family blessings. But it says in the Bible that in Colossians there's a prayer. We often pray together the prayer in Ephesians when we're taking authority. But Colossians also gives us a prayer to pray and mentions also this authority. And this is a specific thing. I tell you, I thank God for this every day, not just on Thanksgiving. Every single day when I'm doing my taking my ruling and reigning, I thank God according to this scripture, Colossians 1, 12 through 14, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And now, reading what Brother Hagin writes, the New Covenant tells us we should be giving thanks unto the Father because he has made us to be able to be partakers of something. Of what? Of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Amplified Bible translates this, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness. God himself has delivered us from the control of Satan. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. God's kingdom is the kingdom of the light. The Father has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the thanks of the saints in the light. He has delivered us out from under the control and the dominion of darkness. Satan has no control over us. He cannot dominate us. And we are told to thank God for that. I already did it this morning, but right now, in the name above every name, together with you, Father, I want to thank you. It's really hard for my head to wrap around this, Lord, but my heart knows it so, for it is written that you have delivered us out from under the control of Satan. Out from under the control of the kingdom of darkness. And you have translated us into the kingdom of the light. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for that most of all. That I can get up this morning and my family coming in. And I can thank you that I can say to the kingdom of darkness, you stay away from them. You stay away from their automobiles, from their modes of transportation. You stay away from their minds. I bind you, Satan, and I break all of your bonds in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name above all names, you're not going to be acting up at our Thanksgiving. You're not going to be here with any sickness, with any disease, with any quarrels, with any debates. Oh, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how thankful I am that we've been translated out of the dominion of darkness, and I can sit here in my bedroom this morning and I can tell Satan he'll have no part in our, and none of his henchmen, none of his underlings will have any part in our Thanksgiving celebration as we gather together to give the Lord thanks. How wonderful it is to me. And now, this is the prayer call for Israel. And as you know, I've just come home from Israel. We left, actually, October 31st, arriving there with the time and all this delay business. We got there November 2nd. And we were there leaving November 19. We spent the first days until the 11th, 12th. We spent those at the Dead Sea area, where I had gone and have gone for years to keep under in my body psoriasis. And thank God for the treatment of the sun there, how you can lie. I can lie in the sun up to 5 hours a day and just keep it under control. How thankful I am for that. Just as soon as we left Yom HaMelech, which is what the Bible calls it, the Salt Sea, the rockets started raining down, the Hamas started raining down hundreds, up to 500 rockets, onto Israel. Someone said, and I read, if even one rocket would have landed on the United States of America, we would have gone to war. But Israel took 500 rockets. And they responded, as Israel does, with air attacks. But someone mentioned in one of the op-ed articles that I read while I was over there, the air attacks, Israel's so careful not to hit populated areas and often bomb empty buildings. So we were there, and the security council, I guess you'd call it, I don't know what, it's made up of top security officials in the government, they met for hours and hours and hours. And really, the country thought they were going to go to war, and they were going to really respond to stop the Hamas attack. Everyone was quite surprised when out of that conference, I don't say everyone was surprised, but a great many people were surprised when it came out that they were going to go into a ceasefire with Hamas. Benjamin Netanyahu announced that, here's what he said, quote, Hamas begged for a ceasefire. And so Israel entered into another ceasefire. Then the country was shocked when Avigdor Lieberman, the defense minister, resigned. When he resigned, taking his party with him, he thought the government would fall. And there were a couple of other parties which threatened to take their support out of the government. I know our Canadian brothers and sisters on the line understand how that kind of a parliament works. They have 120 seats, and to have a majority, you have to have at least 61 seats. And now that's what's left. Someone else, another couple of parties, threatened to resign, but they didn't. And so Benjamin Netanyahu's government is holding together by a thread. Early elections will hurt him because the people will remember that he didn't respond strongly. But he said, while I was there, I read it, he said, I know some things that the general public does not know. And the best thing for us right now was to enter into a ceasefire. Of course, the people who live near the border were furious about this. Their children are, they are undergoing trauma, PTSD. You talk about it here with our soldiers. It's whole communities there in Israel as they have to go repeatedly to the shelters. It's something impossible to imagine that people have to live with. So I don't pretend to know what's the right thing, but early elections, with people remembering that Israel didn't respond in force, would hurt the government of Benjamin Netanyahu. But with those parties not pulling out, who said they were going to pull out, it looks like his government is precariously standing. There is a leader that I really like. She's like we would call the Attorney General. And her name is Ayelet Shaked. And they've recently had a in Israel. They've had a big symposium, you might say, with a lot of the leaders speaking. And she said that she didn't know when it would be, that it could be between March, the election could be between March and the latest possible date, because they're due for another election, the latest possible date would be November 2019. So Israel's leaders are going to have an election sometime between March and 2019 and November 2019. So we'll need to be praying about that. I don't know the answer, but we do pray for Israel. He told us to pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. He told us to pray and not give him any silence until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Before we pray for the government, and I also want to say this, that Ayelet Shaked spoke when she had her speaking at the symposium. She said, well, she said that the current ceasefire will not hold more than a few months, and when it breaks, Israel will likely have to use greater force than it has in recent rounds of fighting. Everybody knows that. But she also said something about President Trump and his peace plan. In anticipation of the Trump administration's rollout of its long-awaited peace plan, Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked said that the U.S. should not waste its time, as the gaps between Israel and the Palestinians are too great to bridge. And that's the truth. There's no sense. Every president has wasted their time trying to get together these two forces that will not. There is no one for Israel to speak peace with. And so even though I'm quite sure President Trump knows that he would be wasting his time, it seems that it's almost expected that he offer a peace plan. So right now, let us pray. Remember, we're praying first of all for those in leadership. Let's pray for Israel's leadership. And let's pray for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the people of Israel. Heavenly Father, in the name above all names, I've just come from there. To be the king of Israel right now, the earthly king, the prime minister, as they call it, oh God, that's an important place to you. And he's just a man. I don't know what he knows that he said he couldn't tell the public. I don't know. I don't know what move he should make, but you do, Father. And in the name above all names, here we are from all across the United States, all the way up to Alaska, out to Hawaii. Someone has gotten up, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Canada, from Florida to Washington, from New York and Maine, all the way to the Masanda to San Antonio. I heard these names today, Father. And we're lifting up our voice like you told us to lift up the shalom of Yerushalayim, to give you no silence until you have made Jerusalem a praise in the earth. We will not be silent, Lord. And we know that prayer means something. We know that prayer means something, or else you wouldn't have told us to do it. You wouldn't have told us to lift up and thank you for our leaders and thank you for them and ask you for direction for them if it didn't mean something. Now, Father, since I don't know, I tell you, Father, when I was over there and I was reading those newspaper articles, first I would think, well, it's right to have a ceasefire. And then I would think, oh, my goodness, they should have responded in greater measure. So, Holy Father, since I don't know what to pray exactly, I'm going to thank you right now for my prayer tongue. And I'm going to ask you to give me to give me utterance in behalf of Israel's Istudi Morashe Nenonia current Ikoloma Havrati Shondom Brekile Doshando Ili Brasota Levrahashata. Beletinho, the children, Lord, the children. Ile de shotara pakala frati hisieto no numrate, en berfroni kalaklahato no dohishe, delica prasa kalagadonia nikalatache, ushanamarati shoto no doho sakara makalakatifro makaladino no nombre. In the name above all names, Holy Father. Ushana Makar, we do celebrate your coming soon, Lord. Oh, Hala Maranda, come quickly. Ibrasote le brachashon, to reveal yourself. Ilibrasote de Mahalakaya nene nonyambre, ijatoro dobre kiliklati. Ambre nikalakaya, ambre nikalakaya nonde. Ele brasota, paparita, 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 paparita. Ele brasto neri onocola brosti di giandori amandi di borosita. Che faradosche cendeli mahasa, egli avrato tata de gohoshete. You know, folks, it is written in the Bible. It is given when they came into the land. When Joshua came into the land and brought the people into where he was eventually going to set up the Ark of the Covenant in Shiloh, he and the high priest, the Lord gave them the borders of each of the tribes. And so then they were to possess the land. Now, I didn't open the scriptures to it right now, but you can find it using your concordance. The Lord said to Joshua in a certain scripture, Joshua, it is written, it's very interesting how it's written. It says, Joshua was old and full of years. And the Lord said to Joshua, you are old and full of years, repeating it. And he said, and you have not taken, and he spoke of the land that is now Gaza. It's called Gerar in the Bible. It's the land where the Philistines were. And it seems to me that ever since the days of Joshua, Israel has had trouble with this 20-mile-long, 4-mile-wide stretch in its southern border near to Egypt. It's had trouble accepting it, that it belongs to them. And, you know, I was close with Sharon, Prime Minister Sharon, and had a very close relationship with him. You might even find it online if you Googled it. But we met with him, and even before he became the prime minister, and he had so many good things. He had helped Israel. We read the scriptures together. He had helped Israel regain its land. But when he got into office in 2005, the Jews had been living in Gaza since 1967 when they took that back in the war. From Egypt, and Jews had been living there, and it was so beautiful. They had changed it, transformed it into a garden, the sandy shores. They grew wonderful flowers and celery. You never tasted such celery in your life. And then Ariel Sharon got it into his head. I'm quite sure Satan came and sat upon his head. Ariel Sharon got it upon his head to give it up and move forcefully out the Jews who lived there. It was called Gush Katif. I wrote a lot about it, G-U-S-H-K-A-T-I-F. We went there. We wore orange. We demonstrated that they should not give it up. One of my friends who was the defense minister under, and a great general, they call him Bogey, General Ya'alon. He was the defense minister, and he told to Sharon, you can't give it up. It will become a terrorist enclave. But Sharon gave it up. And it has become exactly what really everyone knew, it has become a terrorist enclave. Our President Bush, at the time, did a very foolish thing. He insisted on an election. And so they had an election, and Hamas won. Now, in the recent terror that rained down from Hamas, Iran is behind it. And I think that's what Benjamin Netanyahu was referring to when he said, I know something the public doesn't know. Iran is the big bad wolf. And Iran is aiming to control every one of Israel's borders from the north in Syria and Lebanon. And then it's working through Hamas. Now, Iran is Shia. They don't like the Sunnis. The Sunnis and the Shia hate each other. Hamas is Sunni. But everyone knows that Iran is pumping all of those weapons. And there was a new missile that was fired over, a powerful one that was fired over into Israel that had never been used before. It came from Iran. Iran was behind it. They were trying to instigate a war, it seems, some people think. One of the UN representatives, even speaking in Israel, hinted that Iran was trying to push Israel into a war on its southern border so that it could have a war on its northern border and Israel would be at war in two places. One of the men that we spoke to, and I asked him if I could tell some of the things he said, Elliot Chertoff, he is the one who wrote a manual. He's a major, retired, but still involved very much with the government and with the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. He said that Iran, of course, was behind it. And he said, it is not a question of if, but when Iran will attack Israel. And they wanted them. Their armies divided. He said Israel's army right now isn't ready. In fact, the incursion into Gaza began with a commando secret raid into Gaza that went wrong. And he said right now that the armies are not quite, they're not ready for a front on two. They've never been ready for a war. They never would have won in any of the wars if God hadn't intervened. And so into this situation, it has to be the hand of God for Israel to turn out on top. And so, Father, in the name above all names, specifically regarding Gaza and regarding Iran, Holy Father, protect and direct the leadership of Israel. Dearest one, we worship you and praise you and thank you for every blessing. I want to thank you for my family, Lord. They're so dear to me. And I'm asking you, I'm thanking you, and I'm asking you for blessings. I'm asking you, Father, as we meet at our Thanksgiving table, that you would make every one of them aware of you. I thank you, dear Holy Father, for your blessings that I ask upon them. I ask for your blessings upon the good works that you've ordained that we should walk in, Lord. Holy Father, and just imagine all the paths of the people that are on this phone call. I'm asking you to direct and protect each one of them on their path, each one of them with their family. Father, as they meet with their families or they don't have a family to go to, in the name above all names, I'm asking you to be the presence at every Thanksgiving table or in every home on this Thanksgiving, dearest Father. I lift up those in California, Father. Oh, my Father. Holy Father. Where the fires have burned, Lord. I lift up the people in the name above all names for your help, supernatural help in a hurry, Lord, for each one who lost a home or lost a loved one. I'm asking you, we're asking you from all across this country, and I know you're doing it. Angels who obey the will of the Lord, move quickly to help and to restore. Years ago, Sister Jeannie Wilkerson spoke that in the last days there would be fires, real fires, fires, and she said they would be set by arsonists. And she said, but they're really fires that are instigated from hell and burned in men's hearts. And then the men on the earth carry them out. And so for you in California and you, wherever you are, you know that you have the authority to keep down demons that would work through men. And so, in the name above all names, I trust you, ruling and reigning, all of you, ruling and reigning in your place, not only against maybe terrorist attacks, but also against the demons that would work through setting fires. We have 300 acres at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And my son, Terry, who is our general manager, he, years ago when we came here, he became a volunteer fireman. And now we have a fire department, Prayer Mountain, Taney County 11 Fire Department. We have a fire truck right out on our property. But Terry told me, because we have these 300-plus acres, it's a woodlands. And he said if we didn't burn it off every year, burn off the dead trees, what's down, you know, I don't know exactly how they do in a burn off, a control burn, they call it. And they do it around here. He said, Mom, we could have, because when we enter into a drought season, when they're quite often in the Ozarks, if we didn't burn every year, we could face the same thing California did. So in the name above all names, you in California, pray for your officials. Pray for those that they'll know how to manage their forests and manage their lands there. God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to give them wisdom how to do these things in the climates where they live. So, praise the Lord, we're just thanking God for every blessing. I thank God for you. Father, I thank God for all these people. Oh, Father, how wonderful it is to get up in the morning and know that we're going to be able to pray with everybody in this, I mean, with every state in this union, with our neighbors to the north and our neighbors around the world. Oh, God, we love you and thank you that you are pouring out a spirit of prayer and that you are answering those prayers prayed. In the name above all names, amen and amen.